once more. We're in Exodus chapter 27, verse 20. Exodus 27, verse 20. And you shall charge the sons of Israel that they bring you clear oil of beaten olives for the light, to make a lamp burn continually. We spent our last time looking at the light as it was continuously burning, howbeit not always very brightly, within the hearts of at least a remnant of the people of God. It was the duty of the priests, and it was the responsibility of the people to make provision for the light to burn in the temple without ceasing. We also dealt with the fact that there was a 400-year period of silence from God in which that light was almost extinguished. Except for a few faithful, the darkness was almost overtaking the light as it was flickering and fading. That's when the light of God, He who was signified by the ever-burning lamp, shined forth in the brilliance of the only begotten of the Father. The Apostle John so wonderfully declared this in his Gospel, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Please open in your Bibles to this passage as we will read it together. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. The birth of Christ manifested God doing what was impossible with men, as is always the case. In the only begotten Son of God, everything came into fruition in the light of God incarnate. All the darkness was dispelled for all of eternity. The eyes of those who would see were given the everlasting illumination of Him who had created all things. He was heralded by John the Baptist in preparation for mankind receiving the truth of the living love of God sent down from heaven for the sake of bringing humanity into a living relationship with God Himself. As we read at the very beginning of Christ's ministry in Matthew 4, 16 and 17, Matthew 4, 16 and 17, the people who were sitting in darkness saw great light, and to those who were sitting in the land in shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Notice, how Jesus' ministry began with the description of the darkness that had been allowed by the people to cover their minds and their hearts. They were sitting in darkness, not trying to find the light. They were refusing to look for the light of God and to bring the pure oil to the temple to keep the flame burning in the figurative statement of their sitting in the land and in the shadow of death. As Christ further detailed in John 5:33-40, John the Baptist was but a witness of the true light sent directly from the heart of God to men. John 5:33-40. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. But the witness which I receive is not from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. Jesus made it very clear in his ministry that he was the light represented by the burning oil which the people and the priests were to consistently maintain in the purity of their service unto God. What man was unable to do, God did in truth and reality for us. As we read in John 8:12-18. John 8:12-18. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you are bearing witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You people judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and he who sent me. Even in your law it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. As recorded in John 9:1-5, Jesus had to teach his own disciples that they needed to cherish and to appreciate the light that was shining on them in the person of Christ before them. They needed to learn that as he was the light, so were they called to be the testimony of the light that they saw in him. John 9:1-5. And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus was revealing the certainty that what God had always intended in the representation of the temple practices was now being shown forth in the brilliance of the reality of His love. All that had been physically typed throughout the Old Testament was coming into its fulfillment in the Messiah, the Christ, the beloved Son of God. Therefore, as He was witnessed by those who believe, so were they being made into the living vessels through whom the light of Christ could and would shine forth as the beacon of eternal life. As He told them, and as He tells us in Matthew 5:14-18. Matthew 5:14-18. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. This is where our duties and responsibilities as the redeemed of the Lord come into effect. Just as the people were to bring the purified oil into the temple for the continued use of the priests to keep the lamp of the light of God burning, so are our lives to be used by the Lord. We shine forth in this darkened age as beacons which show forth the life of Jesus Christ, not as theology, not as theory, not as religious habits or customs, but as the true light who came into this world for the sake of our salvation. Therefore, we must always be prepared at every instant and any hour to do the bidding of our Lord and our Savior. Please turn to Matthew 25:1-13, and let us read the duty that is ours unto Jesus Christ together. Matthew 25:1-13. Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, saying, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered and said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Again, in Luke 12, 35 and 36, we have the similar call to readiness and service instructed unto us as a just measure for our obedience to Christ. Luke 12, 35 and 36. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight, and be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. We are so instructed to be ready at any hour for the response to the call of our Lord and Master. We are not just shown the light, but we are made to be bearers of the light for the very purpose of honoring God for the great love with which He has loved us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Being so saved and being partakers of the light, it is with utmost joy and sincerity of thanksgiving that we give ourselves to Him, to be ready at an instant's notice to do whatever is His bidding on this earth. The Apostle Paul details exactly what is at stake in our testimony of Christ and our due service unto the Lord in his second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The Apostle Peter picks up this very theme in his second letter as well. In 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21, we have our encouragement as to the need to be clear image bearers of the light of Jesus Christ, not for our sake, but for the testimony of Jesus Christ to those in such desperate need of His light. 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. We are not proclaiming our thoughts or our ideas or our likes or our dislikes. We are proclaiming the life and the light of the love of God expressed forever in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word who was and who is and who is to come. In Him is the light that can never be overcome or extinguished, no matter how much effort is put forth by the power of this age. We bear the light, and we do so in the midst of all the shadows and dark places through which He guides us. So be it. And you shall charge the sons of Israel that they bring you clear oil of beaten olives for the light, to make a lamp burn continually. Amen.